Hi there, and welcome to Let's Slow Down, a podcast for all of you who feel tired and stressed from this overwhelming world. Here we'll have fun, inspiring conversations about living life on our own terms and explore ways to ease the pace of our modern world, because life really is good when you're relaxed enough to be present for it. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Stolting, and I welcome you to this space where I hope to inspire you to slow down, because life is too short to let it go by in a blur. So take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. Today, our guest is Kate Evans. She's a psychologist and a decluttering coach at soulfulspacecoaching.com, here to talk to us about how decluttering the home and the mind can have so many great benefits. I'm very excited to talk to you today, Kate. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me here. I love what you're doing with your podcast. It's so in line with the way that I think and the way that I work with my clients and how I'm trying to live my life. I'm just really looking forward to chatting with you.
Same here. Thanks for giving us your time today. Can you share a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. As you said, I'm a decluttering coach. I'm a psychologist. And so the work that I do as a decluttering coach, it came originally from, so I've been working as a therapist for about 20 years. I have a private practice. And then I started moving into coaching because in 2018, I decluttered my whole house. And this had never been on my radar before. And I had done a whole lot of my own mental and emotional work. I'd done a lot of work on myself physically. And I was actually that year was going to be starting a yoga teacher training program, which really works on you on all those levels, including kind of the spiritual aspect. And it just evolved that I actually started watching YouTube. I mean, it's kind of a silly thing to say that I didn't understand why people liked YouTube. And in 2018, I was giving myself permission to slow down and like not do as many things. So I discovered YouTube. And so I started watching all these things that had to do with decluttering and cleaning your home, systems of maintaining your home, all this stuff that like it never occurred to me that I didn't know this stuff. And it was fascinating to me. Just watching it, not really with the intention of doing anything. And then one day I said, okay, let's just try this. I think it was after I had seen something having to do with Marie Kondo's file folding method for your clothes. And so I tore out all of the tank tops from this one drawer that had been making me just mad and got rid of about half of them, folded them all up into nice little packages like Marie Kondo describes. And stepped back. I was like, oh my God, this is great. Had no intention of continuing to do any more, except that I really enjoyed that. The next day I was doing another drawer and then I was doing another one. And this became, okay, I'm giving myself 3 months. I'm going to declutter my entire house. And there was this point when I was in my kitchen, which had just been clutter, 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 stuff all over the counters, you know, just mess here and there, piles of mail, everything. And I had decluttered it and I had this nice clean countertop that there was a system for doing the dishes and cleaning up after dinner and my mornings and what I did with them. I stepped back one day and looked at my kitchen and just was blown away by how good I felt. And in that moment, I said, that's it. I have to make it so that other people get to feel the same way. Other people need to know about this. I think I thought I had just invented decluttering. I'm not sure. But so that was where the decluttering coaching came from. And that is truly just my passion because the mental, emotional, spiritual benefits of my uncluttered home. And it is a lived-in home that I've got. And I have kept it uncluttered since March of 2018. No problem.
Good for you. What a story. I completely relate. I mean, it is kind of addictive. Like you start, like you said, with one drawer. You started with the tank tops, then you're like, huh, actually, this is easier to find stuff. This looks better when I open it. There's just so many positives. And eventually we start just building momentum and decluttering everything. I can't believe you did your entire house in 3 months.
I did it in 2.5 months because at the 2.5 month mark, I went, nope, that's it. I'm done. And I had not gotten to my garage. So I didn't do my garage until the next year. But I had this system that I created where I just, in my phone, I, you know, where you have your notes, I just would put in there anything that came to mind, like silverware drawer, you know, office supplies, exercise equipment. But I mean, it was even some cleaning stuff because I got really into cleaning things because I never really cleaned it. I was a self-professed slob. It was a limiting belief. I don't believe I'm a slob any longer. I just don't really love cleaning. I don't know. I know some people really do. I'm not one of them. So I just had this list. And so every day, either in the morning before I went to work or in the evening when I came home or on my days off, I would just look at that list and I would just kind of scroll through it and I would let my intuition tell me what I had the energy for, what I had the time for, not what I should do.
Love that.
And then I would do that one thing because I was being so intentional about it, that it was really what I had the time and energy and wherewithal for. It would get done. It wouldn't be something I'd start and then not finish and never follow through on. So days when I had more time, I was doing some of the bigger things, like the day that I did my refrigerator and I could not get that glass to detach from the shelf. And I was so sure I was going to break it. I had like towels down on the floor in the kitchen. And I'm trying to tap at it gently. I'm trying to get liquid under there. It was, oh my goodness. I felt a certain amount of shame in that moment over, I've never cleaned this refrigerator. We had purchased it new a few years prior to that, and I literally had never cleaned it. And I had to deal with those feelings and then just go, yeah, but now I've done this, and this is not representative of me as a person. This is just something it didn't occur to me to do. So that was like a Saturday. It took a very long time to do.
But, you know, it's true. You mentioned, you know, you weren't even sure really how to do it. And I don't know if I've ever like deep cleaned my fridge. I mean, I've definitely cleaned it, but probably not as well. And we do have a second fridge and that one, not so much. But actually learning how to do this stuff, like we don't really know all the ins and outs of decluttering and cleaning and keeping up. And this is something, I mean, like it or not, like we all live somewhere if we're lucky and are going to be faced with these things. So it's like they got to start teaching this at school. Like we got to learn this younger.
I've said that many times. And I actually do hear about some schools who have more advanced types of programs that talk more about some of the psychological things, these like true life skills things. But I know how to clean. I knew how to do dishes. I knew all the basics of how to clean. But what about the systems and certainly the decluttering? Now, my mom, she was not somebody who held on to things necessarily. And there's still a little bitterness from when I think I was in sixth grade and she got rid of some of my toys. She like sold them at a garage sale without my permission. It was like my Transformers and my My Little Ponies. It was devastating to me. And she hadn't asked me. So I've got a whole thing about parents, you know, decluttering with your children and including them in the process. But to her, there was no value in them. And I was old enough. She didn't think that I would play with them, but they still had value to me. But anyway, so my point with all that is that my mom was not necessarily somebody who held on to things, but there also wasn't this clear education on how you maintain an uncluttered home. What do you do when you've got a bunch of clutter? There wasn't necessarily the like once a year going through your clothes to see what does or does not fit. Those systems were not taught to me. And that was not a failing on her part. It's just we don't teach that in depth. So I taught myself. And that's what I just wanted to cut through some of all of that for other people as a coach to go, okay, instead of you having to search out all this information and put it together on the through the internet, let's do coaching. And then you don't have to like piecemeal this. And there's nothing wrong with you if you don't know how to do this stuff.
Yeah, it's a big job. And I like that you mentioned, pick the areas that you have the time and energy for at the moment, in the present, because I think that's where a lot of people fail, along with this keeping the systems in place. Mm-hmm. It seems like such a big, daunting task.
Yeah.
And if we look at the whole house or even a whole room, you know, you mentioned mm-hmm. your garage. My garage is on the list too. It's like the catch-all for everything. And so we kind of avoid it, but it's stressing us out. I walk through my garage every single day. That's my main entryway into my mm-hmm. home. So probably should make that a priority since it is subconsciously, it's there and I'm walking through it every day. So it's affecting me. But starting small or starting with whatever it is that you have the capacity for at the time, I think is a great tip because it will then create that momentum and that snowball effect and you'll feel good about what you're doing, not completely defeated. So
absolutely. Yes. That overwhelm, that daunting task that you described, that's what freezes you in place. And because you don't know, like you're visually overwhelmed, mentally overwhelmed, you can't figure out where to start. You're looking at, there's 20 different starting points within your visual range. So, well, which is the right one? And that's where a lot of people struggle is, well, what is the right thing that I'm supposed to be doing? And I talk to all my clients that there isn't a right place. In essence, all these roads are going to lead to Rome. No matter where you start, we're then going to go to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. So start with the thing that makes the most sense to you. I was talking in a workshop that I was co-leading recently. I was talking with one of the women who was attending and she wanted to declutter her garage. And so I just asked her, I said, well, when you think about your garage, what is the first thing that you think of that you really want to get rid of? And she said that she had a whole bunch of stuff that needed to get taken to the garbage, the dump, essentially. But she just wasn't getting around to it. And so I started just asking her these questions about, well, what is it? What's stopping you? What's getting in the way? And it turned out that while she could fit everything that she had in the garage in her car, it was probably going to be about a 4-hour excursion from where she had to drive to, I guess there's a very, very long line that you have to sit in, to then driving home. So the whole thing felt like a very daunting experience to her. And she wasn't even just thinking about that one thing. She was then thinking, well, but then I still need to do all these other things in the garage. So we focused in just on her taking care of these things that needed to be taken to the garbage dump and how she could do that. When she could do that, did she need to ask somebody for assistance? Did she want to bring somebody with her? What would she do while sitting in the car in this very long line? Would she listen to a podcast? Would she listen to an audiobook? What would she do? And when we broke it down into that one thing, you don't have to think about anything else. You think about that one thing, that one task. When you're done with that, then you can think about the other stuff. That was her right place. Because it wasn't something I dictated for her. It was what she identified was stopping her from getting to anything else. So it was her starting
point. So important. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's so important and can be applied to so many areas of our life. Mm-hmm. You know, anything. Like, you have to start. And if you don't actually take that first step, then all those other steps don't even matter. They're never happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so... It seems when we say it out loud, like, okay, yeah, that's simple, right? But we don't do it. We don't take, and I think that's the whole slowing down piece, mm-hmm. being intentional. Like, we don't take those extra couple minutes to figure out, okay, what is it getting in my way? And when we hang up later, I'm going to be doing this with myself about my garage. What is getting us? What is holding us back? You know, mm-hmm. just getting started. And do you think, I've been reading a lot about this lately, do you think that perfectionism plays a role in this, in preventing us from starting?
Huge role. Huge, 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 huge. So perfectionism is the idea that there is one right way to do things. It is the idea that if I don't do the right way, the perfect way, then I will have failed. It is the idea that you have to do something at 100%. And I don't even know what the heck 100% is.
Do the holidays stress you out? Do you dread the to-do lists and busy calendar? Why not embrace the holiday spirit at a slower pace this year and sign up for my free 12 days of holiday ease? These simple tips will help all to feel calm and all to feel bright so you can do more of what matters this holiday season. Click the link in the show notes and sign up today.
So when you're thinking about perfect, and honestly, when I talk to clients and I bring up the word perfect, a lot of them say, well, I'm not a perfectionist. I have mess. I have this. I'm disorganized. Yeah, well, think about perfectionism not as the person who has the super tidy house and the super structured life and everything. Instead of thinking of that as perfectionism, think of it as your perspective of, if I can't do it perfect, then I'm not going to do it at all. So then the decluttering project never starts because person is thinking, if I'm not going to do this perfect, then I'm going to fail at it. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. So now I never start, but now I feel shame because now I think there's something wrong with me because I'm not doing this. And it becomes this giant knotted ball of yarn.
Yeah. And you get deeper and deeper into it and it gets harder to kind of find your way out. And I have experienced that. You know, I don't really think of myself as a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. However, I think that that's gotten in my way. When I really step back and look at it, I'm like, huh, I think that's gotten in my way of starting some things. As adults, I find, at least for me, that we forget to let ourselves be beginners at things.
Yeah.
So, you know, like with our kids, hey, you've never done that before. Just go give it a shot. Well, there's a lot of things we've never done before as adults. Mm-hmm. Why do we think that because we're older in age that like we should be perfect at it?
And that's exactly what I hear from people. Well, I'm X age. I should be able to figure this out. Okay, your age has nothing to do with it. Your experience, what you've been exposed to, is more what has to do with anything. And putting that on yourself that you should be able to do this because you're of a certain age or certain education level or a parent or whatever it might be, well, that's just going to keep you stuck too, because well, now you're, again, looking at yourself as I failed, I'm bad, there's shame comes in with that again, and now you're stuck again.
I think so many of us think all of those things. We don't even realize we're thinking them. And then we place these unreasonable expectations on ourselves because we think we should. We think we should. And it's like, well, who said you should?
Yeah.
That word needs to be eliminated.
It is a rough word, man.
Yeah.
It comes with all these expectations that have nothing to do with you and that are maybe their cultural expectations or there's somebody else's ideas. But you have to, if you really want to have an authentic life that feels really good to you, you do have to do that slowing down thing and check in with yourself and intuit what really works for you. And none of that is should. It's this would benefit me. This would move me toward my goals. This would feel good. I would feel proud of myself. It would make my life easier. Whatever it is that you want to work on, that's a reason to do things, not because of whatever the heck a should is.
So true. And these days, especially in the decluttering space on Netflix, and you mentioned YouTube, and there's all these places where it's very, very trendy and very much highlighted right now. I found myself watching them and thinking, like, my house doesn't look like that. It probably never will look like that, and that's fine. But again, these people are professionals. They've got a whole team helping them. And yeah, that's why it happens in, you know, 24 hours. They do the whole thing. Right. So we just have to be careful about all of these things that we're being exposed to. I mean, a lot of them are so great. They have great ideas. They're inspiring.
Yes.
But just to keep yourself in check, right?
Especially with those Netflix shows that are longer periods of time, I call it like putting parentheses around something. The idea that this is, you take kind of take this little chunk of time outside of reality, and it's all about this decluttering, this cleaning, this reorganization, which is wonderful. And like you say, all the people who do these, who have these books and YouTube channels and Netflix shows and everything, they've got amazing ideas. But as the individual consumer looking at that stuff to think I should be able to do that, there's already a problem with that sentence because of the word should. It doesn't take into account, well, you still have kids, you've got a job, maybe you got the flu, maybe you're having some issues with family, maybe you have an ill parent, maybe you've gone on vacation. Who knows what the various wonderful and difficult things that come with life. So when you want to, say, declutter your home, you're still living life in the middle of that. So you have to make it all work together. And yes, I was able to do my 1,400 square foot, two-story, three-bedroom, one-and-a-half-bath house on slab, no basement, didn't do the garage. I was able to do that in 2.5 months. I also don't have kids. I really do like to emphasize that because I was not parenting while I was doing this. And so if I had been parenting, I do think that it would have taken me a quite a bit longer. But it's taking those individual circumstances of your life and taking that information in and applying it to your life in a way that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. And giving yourself the grace along the way to
grace,
you know, take the time that you need or take the break that you need. And great, great advice, all of it. And just really important things to think about as we start tackling this subject, you know, at home and in our lives. So you had mentioned systems, which are super important because even if we do take those 3, 6 months, year, whatever it takes, and we feel like, okay, we're there. We, you know, we decluttered. Obviously, it's not a one-time thing if there's not systems in place, because otherwise it's all coming back.
Right.
So what are some of your favorites? Can you share a few that really get the job done, really efficient, ones that you love?
Well, my favorite one is the one in, one out rule. This is a real basic of if I'm going to buy something, I have to think what's leaving my house. And if I don't want to get rid of anything, well, what is the purpose that this thing actually has? Why would I be able, why would it be outside of these guidelines of one in, one out? So this really works with clothing because, so I've got a pretty minimal wardrobe in comparison. I probably whittled it down by about 2/3. So I probably have only 1/3 of what I had when I first started doing all of this in 2018. And when I buy a shirt has to leave. So what shirt am I ready to let go of? What am I not wearing anymore? What do I not love anymore? If I can't come up with anything, I don't buy the other thing. I actually only have a certain number of hangers, only have a certain amount of drawer space. And funnily enough, I actually emptied out 2 of those drawers as I've decluttered. So, and I ended up putting my jewelry in those drawers because I didn't have enough clothes to fill them up. So then another system is make the stuff fit the container. Don't try to make the container fit the stuff. So have a certain amount of hangers. That's it. We're not trying to jam as much in. And there's this little cheat that people like to do with hangers, which is getting those really skinny flocked hangers. And then so you can get as much in the space that you have as humanly possible. Well, now your clothes can't breathe. You're going to miss things. They're going to get wrinkled. They're going to get musty. They're going to get dusty. I've had many people who have pulled things out of their closets that are dusty. So don't do that. I like the nice, thick wooden hangers. That's what I've got in mind. Not saying you have to do what I do, but that's so that's a system. Another couple that I do in my house is my bed gets made every morning. I was so against this idea. I thought it was just silliness. I fought it and fought it and fought it for, you know, what, the first 40 some years of my life. And then I decided, well, let's just do it for 7 days. And then it turned 30 and now it's been, I actually think I've been making my bed for maybe, you know, 6 years or something like that. It doesn't, at 49, 6 years doesn't sound like a really long time. But the reason why that system helps everything else is because my bedroom, where things do not get set on the floor, things do not pile up on flat surfaces, because we love a flat surface. When I make the bed, it emphasizes the tidiness of that room. It makes it feel really calm and inviting. So when I come to bed at night, it feels really delightful. The other one is in the kitchen. The dishes get done every single day. My system is run the dishwasher at night, empty the dishwasher in the morning. Prior to doing all of this, I was the person with the science experiment that lived in the kitchen sink. That has not happened since I decluttered my home and put new systems in place. So
amazing. And really, once you started doing it, you realized how much better you felt. Let's talk about that psychological piece for a couple minutes. All of these psychological benefits that you have found, discovered yourself, but also for people that you work with.
So here's the way I see it is the state of your home reflects the state of your brain. So if you look in your pantry and it's pure chaos and check with yourself and go, well, do I feel like pure chaos inside my head? The answer is probably going to be yes. So let's just say that you declutter your pantry, which system of the way that you declutter is you empty everything out. This is something that it's, if you are just pawing through and kind of pulling a few things out and kind of haphazardly organizing, you're not decluttering. Now you can just declutter one shelf at a time, one section at a time, that's fine. Everything has to leave. So you go in and you declutter this pantry and you create systems in that pantry of, you know, maybe like for me, I like to have large baskets for different categories. So that's how I like to organize, so labels on things. And now you know where to find things, you know how to put things back. Your kids, your spouse, like they know where to find things. They know where to put things back. It's easy. We love easy. We do not love lots of stuff. So now, yeah. You look in that pantry and just the way that I looked at my kitchen and went, oh, this feels so good. I want everybody else to feel that. You now go and you look in your pantry, you go to get something, you know, can of Progresso soup for lunch or something, whatever it might be. But you feel good when you're doing that. You don't feel drained because there's this energy drain that is happening. You do this throughout your house. And now we have energy flowing through your house. And when you enter your home, you come in through your entryway, your mud room, through the laundry room, from your garage, like me, whatever, however it is you enter your home and you don't feel, oh gosh, there's one thing I need to get done. Oh, there's another thing. Oh, that's all over the place. This, you don't feel that sense of being burdened by all these unfinished projects. You feel, okay, that's reasonable. That's doable. I can put that back. We can deal with this. I can have the kids do that. They know the system. So your anxiety starts to reduce because you're not feeling pressured by the place that you live. And the place we live is supposed to be sacred.
Yeah.
You start to see what you're capable of. I had mentioned that my limiting belief about myself was that I was just a lifelong slob. That was just the way it is. I've let go of that. So now I don't have to say this kind of negative thing about myself that just supports this chaotic space. I can say, no, I'm a person who can create solutions. I'm a person who can follow through. I feel really good about that. I feel proud of that. And this starts to ripple out into everything in your life. Your job, raising your children, your relationship with your spouse, relationships with friends, setting boundaries with people, on and on. So it's not just about the house. It's about how you feel about yourself and how that then makes everything in your life better.
That's amazing. I love how you just worded that because it does have such a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. And that energy that you're referring to, I mean, that can be an amazing thing because it's just, we all want more energy. And a lot of times I used to think like, oh, like maybe something's wrong with me. Like maybe my vitamin D is off or this or that health-wise. And then I kind of realized like, oh, I just have to do the things that fuel me. That give me, obviously eating well is part of that. But, yes. You know, there's those pieces, but there's also the mental stuff that can give us such a boost. Even this podcast, I love doing this podcast so much and meeting all these amazing people such as yourself, I get an energy boost from that. Like, yes, it's another thing that I'm doing, but it's something that I love and it adds so much to my life. And all of these things do. And, you know, you said like when you walk in, if your house is kind of not where you need it to be or want it to be, that mental, I think mental load, I guess is the phrase, right? It can be very heavy. And to have that be lighter gives you such an energy boost. And then if you continue on with that ripple effect, I mean, it can truly be life-changing. I mean, you can do a 180 for yourself and your family, and it does affect everything. Our relationships, how we feel in our home. We get better rest. You mentioned your bedroom. Yeah. It feels more inviting. It feels more put together. That's an environment that you can come in at night and take a deep breath and just relax and get a good sleep so that then you can be more refreshed for the next day. So it's crazy how everything is so connected.
Absolutely. And they find that people don't make that connection between how I feel about myself, how I'm handling things in life, and the state of my home. So that year, 2018, when I decluttered my home in the winter, spring, and then I did yoga teacher training for 6 months throughout the spring, summer, one of the first things we were introduced to in training was intentional kindness. And it's called karma yoga, the idea of interacting with others the way that you would want to be interacted with. This is not groundbreaking, but it was worded in a way and at a time. So I had just done this very kind thing for myself. A lot of times we're not, you know, declutter your home because you actually don't necessarily believe that you deserve to put that much time and energy into yourself. Well, I had just done this very kind thing for myself. I'm decluttering my home. And then I get introduced to this idea of like hardcore kindness in essence. And I was somebody who was sometimes not very kind, especially to people in service positions, which is pretty messed up because I've had many jobs in service positions. But my anxiety would push me to be short with them, to be snappish, to be really kind of a jerk. I mean, I own it 100%. But from that point, I have not taken this stuff out on anybody since. I have not been nasty to a service person. I've been empathetic and understanding. I've slowed down. The slowing down thing is real big when you're looking to make this kind of change. And I think about it. I think about what this person's dealing with and what is in their control and what is not in their control. And it really help anything for me to bully them, which is frankly what I was doing. I was exerting power over them previously. But when I embraced kindness, which I do not think that I would have embraced the way that I did if I had not done the decluttering in my home. Decluttering my home emptied out all this excess stuff that left the space for me to create huge internal changes for myself that turned into how I interact in the world. And I am so grateful for what I gave myself.
I love it. It's beautiful. And you gave yourself the space to breathe, the room to breathe.
Breathing, yes.
Then you're not so tapped out. Yeah. You know, we get tapped out and it's not just affecting us. It's affecting every single person, like you said, that we interact with. Mm-hmm. So it's a gift that we deserve to give ourselves. And we also deserve to give that to the people who are around. So whether it's our family or the clerk that we interact with in our day to day. And this is very interesting. Very interesting. Thanks for sharing all these connections because it's something we don't necessarily think about very often or put together how important this stuff can be. So this has been a lot of fun talking to you. You have so many great ideas and just a beautiful perspective on life. And thank you for sharing this today.
Oh, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share. Being able to share the stuff that I'm this passionate about is such a gift and a blessing. And having people like you come into my life where I can do this and to put this information out into the world, just to anyone listening to this, to hear what we've talked about today and to be gentle with yourself and to give yourself the space to breathe and know that it's okay and you don't have to live by shoulds. If somebody gets that message from listening to this, then that's what I need. And I think I'm going to make myself cry by even saying all this. This is really funny. Okay.
That's a win, right? That's the whole point. That's the whole point of doing this. So thank you for bringing that to light. And I'll link everything in the show notes as to where to find you and your website for coaching and everything else. But where else can the listeners find you?
So you can, of course, go to my website, www.soulfulspacecoaching.com. And I really encourage anyone to go and join my newsletter. And you're going to have the link for that in the show notes. Yep. And to find me on social media, Instagram and Facebook. I put up tons of reels and posts with lots of stuff having to do with the emotions as well as the skills that come with decluttering. So my handle there for both of them is soulfulspace.coaching. And finally, in this next, you know, like kind of this push toward the end of the year, I'm really feeling passionate about offering free intro coaching sessions to those people who want to go into the new year with a plan to let go of the excess, to have the next year be about releasing themselves from that excess and perhaps coming into some coaching to help them to do that. And so the links for that, I guess, I'll make sure that you've got that. And you can also go into my bio and my social media to find that. So I think that's everything.
So good. So good. Thank you for being here today, Kate.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and have been inspired to slow down and start living life at your own pace. As a brand new podcast, your listener voice matters. If Let's Slow Down is resonating with you, please take a minute to leave a review and rate us. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen and share it with friends. Remember, this is a process, so go easy on yourself. Be gentle and take all the space you need to thrive, because the world needs you to be at your best, to love and serve others and yourself.